Once upon a time, many, many years ago, in the first few months of 2020, we were all living our normal everyday lives when suddenly a big, bad, unknown virus came calling and upset the entire world as we know it. And one of the first ways we reacted was panicked buying of stuff. Toilet paper, Clorox wipes, hand sanitizer, food. I remember searching all over Athens in April of 2020 for a bag of flour and finally getting one of the last two bags available at a Walgreens. At the beginning of what would be a months-long, even years-long global pandemic, we expressed our fear and uncertainty by buying stuff. In many cases, way, way more stuff than we actually needed. Let's face it, the story of the rich man in Mark's gospel is a tough one, with a message that's hard to swallow. After all, most of us really like our stuff. Sometimes we relieve stress by going shopping. I'll admit I stopped and bought some socks online while I was writing this sermon. We're proud of the things we own, and too often we collect far more than we actually need. But one of the key messages in today's story is to let go of things, including things we think are important, in order to receive much more than we ever expected, both in this life and in the next. This was the situation of the rich man who came to ask Jesus an important question. The scriptures don't tell us much about this man other than that he was wealthy. We don't know his age, or how he came to have wealth, or how he became interested in the traveling rabbi Jesus and his band of followers. But we do know that when Jesus came through his town, this man came forward to ask Jesus a question. It's not clear whether or not Jesus knew immediately that the man was rich, although it's not hard to imagine that the man's wealth was apparent in his clothes, his confidence, his mannerisms. In previous encounters with people in other towns, the disciples tried to prevent the people from bothering Jesus with their concerns. And yet the disciples let this man through. Wealth has its privileges, even among the disciples who were closest to Jesus. It might be tempting to assume that this man was overbearing, trying to trick Jesus with his question. But despite his wealth, the man was actually quite earnest. He really wanted to connect with Jesus. He began by addressing Jesus respectfully as good teacher. He clearly had been paying attention to what Jesus was teaching, and he asked an important and challenging question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He truly admired Jesus and wanted to follow him. Jesus first challenged his greeting, returning the focus to God by saying, "No one is good but God alone." Jesus wanted to be sure this man understood that he, Jesus, was not a replacement for God. He was the representative of God's coming rule. And as Jesus began to answer this man's question about how to inherit eternal life, the rich man probably felt some relief, for Jesus started by listing several of the commandments that all devout Jews followed. The commandments handed down by God to Moses. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Whew! The rich man was an observant Jew himself. He knew he'd followed all of these commandments carefully since he was young. He probably thought he was all set, that eternal life was guaranteed to him. But then Jesus added some twists, as Jesus tended to do. The first twist is kind of easy to miss because it's buried in the list of commandments that Jesus shared. You shall not defraud. That's not one of the Ten Commandments handed down to Moses, so why would Jesus mention it specifically? This may have been a commentary on the man's wealth. Even though Jesus did not know this man very well, he was acquainted with other wealthy people and knew that many of them earned their wealth by defrauding others, especially poor peasant farmers. This commandment was a powerful reminder to be aware of how you make and maintain your wealth. It's not clear whether the man actually heard and understood this message, but he did affirm that he followed all of the commandments since his youth. At this point in the story, there's a small exchange between Jesus and the rich man that's sometimes overlooked. Jesus looked at the man and loved him. So much so that Jesus invited him to join the disciples and follow him. But then Jesus added another twist, one that ultimately was too much for this man. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. I wonder if the rich man stood there for a few minutes, thinking about everything he owned and everything he'd have to give up to follow Jesus. In any case, he just couldn't do it. And he went away filled with shock and grief. He just could not let go of the comfort and status that his wealth afforded. And in this moment, he became the only person in all of the Gospels to refuse Jesus' call to follow him. The message may sound harsh to our contemporary ears. After all, the man was a devout Jew who followed all of the commandments, and still that wasn't enough. Why did Jesus ask the man to give up all of his possessions? Jesus may not have known that the man was rich. He may simply have been asking the same thing he had requested of each of the disciples he called. Leave your family, leave your home, leave your fishing nets, leave it all behind and follow me. And at the same time, Jesus may have been asking the man to give up what was holding him back from loving God completely. Not the possessions themselves, but his attachment to wealth and to the security and prestige and privilege that came with it. This story may have resonated in a special way with those who first heard it read aloud. The story is found in Mark's Gospel, written in about 70 CE, somewhere around 40 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. It was a challenging time for early Christians, to say the least. They faced persecution, torture, and even death at the hands of the Roman Empire, not only for following Jesus, but also for being devout Jews. At the time Mark's Gospel was written, the temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed by the Roman Empire. The small community of Christians who made up Mark's church had made difficult choices, including leaving family and friends behind to follow Christ. They would have understood both the challenge and the importance of giving up the things that hold you back to follow Jesus. And yet, the disciples did not understand, an unfortunately common theme in Mark's Gospel. Once the man had left, Jesus turned to his disciples to elaborate on wealth and the kingdom of God, using a strange and memorable image. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Biblical scholars over the years have struggled to understand the camel through the eye of the needle metaphor. Some scholars believe that the scribes who copied this scripture made an error, substituting the Greek word camelos, meaning camel, for the original word kamelos, meaning rope. But even reading the word as rope doesn't really help, for a rope can't go through the eye of a needle either. Other scholars point to an ancient myth of the needle's eye gate. It was said to be a small, narrow gate in the wall into Jerusalem, too narrow and too low for a fully loaded camel to go through. The camel would have to have its burdens removed and squat down low to pass through this gate. Of course, the needle's eye gate is not mentioned anywhere in the Bible, and there's no historical evidence that it actually existed. It is a myth. And trying to explain the camel through the eye of the needle misses the point that Jesus was making. It's impossible, not just hard, for a rich person to get into God's kingdom on their own. It was an extreme illustration of impossibility, one the disciples would have understood. And it's clear that they did understand the implication of Jesus' message, for they looked at each other in astonishment, perhaps threw up their hands in frustration, and said, "Well, then who can be saved?" Peter, always the one to speak out, added that each of them had left everything to follow Jesus. You can almost hear the frustration, the irritation, even the whine in Peter's voice. "I've given up everything for you. Are you telling me that's not enough to get into God's kingdom?" But Jesus quieted him down and shared two important messages, messages that are still important for us today. God can do anything, even things that are impossible for humans. And giving up things, even important things, can lead to receiving gifts much greater than you ever expected. The first message sounds obvious. God can do anything. But take a minute to think about what that really means. The rich man could not earn his place in the kingdom of God, just as we can't earn God's grace through anything we do, no matter how generous, no matter how well-intentioned. Jesus was reminding his followers that only God alone can save us, the best of us and also the worst of us. Being dependent on God is hard for many of us. We like to be the ones in control, the ones making the decisions about what happens to us. But this is a place where we can't do anything. We must simply receive our place in the kingdom as a gift from the generous God who loves us all completely. Nothing is impossible for God, even if it seems impossible to our human eyes. And there's another important message in this story of the rich man and Jesus. In giving up things that are important for the sake of our faith, we receive so much more than we ever expected. In Mark's community of early Christians, many people had to choose between their faith and their family, especially if family members did not share that faith. Many early Christians left their home and family to be part of this new movement called the Way, and they became a part of a much larger family in their new community of faith. So what are our barriers to truly following Jesus? Where do we choose security, privilege, or prestige instead of Jesus? It can be hard to resist the allure of wealth and power and the pressures of our consumer culture. But the message of Jesus is countercultural. Give to the poor. Take care of those who need your help. Love those who seem most unlovable. The early Christian community was built on a model of generous hospitality, where all were welcomed and treated as equals, where everyone had enough to take care of all of their needs. Jesus beckons us to give up our attachment to our possessions and extend this same generous hospitality. Does this mean you have to sell everything and rely on the hospitality of strangers to have somewhere to live and food to eat? No. What Jesus calls us to let go of, is our attachment to our possessions, our power, and our privilege that we hold that makes our life simple. So I invite you this week to take some time to reflect on how you view your worldly possessions, how God is guiding you to engage with his kingdom on earth, and what you might need to give up in order to best serve God's people. Amen.